You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, here we are, Ron, in two completely different states, and good evening to you.
Well, good evening to you from Bernie, Texas, Linda.
And I'm in California, just doing what I do, running my business. I haven't talked to you too much for the past couple of days. We've both been so engaged in other things, so it's good to talk. And the news today, the big news of right now, is that the FBI report on Judge Kavanaugh is in, and as we predicted, it shows nothing.
Right. Absolutely no confirmation, verification, validation of anything that Christine Ford had to say with respect to her accusations against poor Honorable Judge Brett Kavanaugh.
No, and the thing is that it doesn't really matter to the Democrats at all, because all they do is move the goalposts again. And now the FBI, who was so completely honorable with Comey and Strzok and Lisa Page and all of these, McCabe and all these people and everything that they were doing on the Russia probe, now the FBI is just not very good at their job, and this is a whitewash, they say, and they didn't have
a cover up.
They didn't do a good job. So which is it? Do they do a great job or do they not do a great job? And I think that President Trump, even though they're saying that he limited it in scope totally, he told them to take it wherever it took them. So that is the best that you can ask for an investigation, is wherever the leads take you, that's where you go. And obviously there were no leads to take them anywhere. So this is just as we predicted. And, Judge Kavanaugh is a good man. I'm more disgusted than ever that even though they demanded this FBI probe and they got it, and they don't like the results, so now they discredit the results. So you'll never be able to win with these people. But, you know, I have a little thing I was thinking about today, Ron. I want to run it by you.
Well, go ahead.
So you know how we have such division right now in the country? And, you know, it's just psychologically, there's a thing that I think that people can do and that people do, people that are smart enough to do this, is kind of, if you can't beat them, join them. So hear me out for a second. If you are the Democrats, and they have lost this coup of theirs dramatically, I mean, this really has blown up in their face. Would it not be better for the Democrats to come around and, even if it's phony, act like they're working with the Republicans? You know, let's get everybody kind of on the same page, because they're not gaining anything and haven't gained anything since President Trump's been in the office. The Republicans have all the wins. So why don't they join them on behalf of the American people? And when you have that more friendly working relationship, people are more willing to compromise. So they will win more things by joining them and being part of the process instead of being obstructors to the process.
Well, Linda, just because of the politics the way it is, you're never going to see that happen, because that would actually be the right thing to do. And we're never going to see that. You know, I want to go back to the Kavanaugh investigation, and you can see that the Democrats, after all of this, have not moved one centimeter from their initial statements that they were going to do anything by any means possible to get rid of Judge Kavanaugh as a nominee. Now, going back to the FBI again, and the whole Trump-Russia collusion thing and all of this, Comey made huge mistakes. The people on the seventh floor of the FBI is where all the administrators are. That's where the McCabes are, the Strucks, the Lisa Pages. All of these people have destroyed the reputation of the Bureau. And I feel so bad for the thousands of men and women that do honorable and dangerous work with the FBI every single day to keep us safe. And because of all the controversy that has occurred, they have now become the Democrat whipping boys. Okay, now the Republicans took their shots at them, and rightly so, because of the way that they handled the investigation with Trump's campaign. As a matter of fact, just today, one of the top FBI lawyers before Congressional Subcommittee, James Baker, you know, he gave what was referred to as an explosive testimony in discussing how the FBI conducted the Russia probe or the investigation into Trump campaign and collusion. And he said before the Congressional Subcommittee that he found the investigators had an inherent political bias. Because of all the problems with the inherently biased FBI agents and administrators, they brought this onto themselves. And we're just going to see where this thing goes. But what is nice about the FBI investigation is they found absolutely nothing to substantiate what Dr. Ford had alleged. So I feel a little bit better for Justice Kavanaugh.
Well, I do too. So we will see where this takes us. And I still think that the Democrats would do well for themselves and for the country to try to work together with the Republicans. And I think that, you know, when you can change things from the inside much better than you can change them from the outside.
Well, no, I agree. But Linda, you're trying to use common sense here, and you're trying to use ethics. And just look at everything that's happened with respect to these Democratic senators and, you know, and their conspirators. And look at what they've done. And, you know, speaking of that, look at the news about the congressional intern, a 27-year-old guy by the name of Jackson Cosco, who's worked for several prominent Democrats, including Dianne Feinstein, and now he's working for Sheila Jackson Lee. Actually, he's not working for Lee anymore because she fired him today when the Capitol Police arrested him for doxing. And you remember what doxing was, Linda? That's dropping confidential documents. So here's a guy that works on cybersecurity issues, so he's certainly fluent in the use of computers and getting into security access. And he pulled up all of the personal information for three Republican senators on this from this hearing: Lindsey Graham, Mike Lee, and Orrin Hatch.
But there was two more besides that, Ron. There was five altogether.
Okay, well, thank you very much for, you know, updating me. But they've arrested him for a whole bunch of things. Unauthorized access to government computers, identity theft, second-degree burglary, for publicizing the personal information of the cell phones and the residence addresses. I think there's two or three other charges. So this guy's going to be in deep. And I'll tell you what, I hope they punish this person, because with all of the violence and the threats that all of these people, all of these senators, Republican senators, have been getting, and the poor threats going out to Brett Kavanaugh and his family, they had better do something to protect these politicians and the Supreme Court nominee and his family.
Well, and in addition, what this guy also did, and which are the cause of the additional charges that he faces. So while he was actually in the process of doing his doxing, and he was on the computer, somebody walked in and saw what he was doing and left the room. And that person received an email from him shortly thereafter saying, you better keep this quiet, because if you don't, I'm going to release these people's children's social security numbers, health records, all kinds of other personal information. And this was the threat to this guy, that if you don't keep quiet, I'm going to like burn all these people down. That's kind of the threat.
Okay,
and
well, you know,
and
Linda,
uh, so
that
so he
makes.
got yeah so he that's why the extra charges.
Okay, well, you know what, Lynn? That would make sense because one of the extra charges was felony intimidation of a witness. So that makes a lot
Yep.
of sense.
Yeah, so he was not a nice guy, and it's scary because I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there with this kind of knowledge, but the fact that this guy was able to get into all these systems to get this knowledge is even scarier to me.
Well, you know, speaking of, you know, background checks and things, who did the background check on this intern?
Well, and that's a good question. He was an unpaid intern, but pay him or not, if you're into sensitive information, you better be checking. And, you know, it's interesting because so many, this guy worked for a Democrat. Dianne Feinstein had a Chinese spy
yeah,
on her
I remember
staff.
That. Thanks for bringing that up.
What's her name? Deborah, the one from the DNC who had
Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
Yeah, who had the
Middle Eastern guy
that was stealing all kinds of
$6 million.
Well, not just money, but all kinds of information that he stole as well. So what the heck is happening there? And, you know, these guys are just self-destructing and they just have no clue. I don't think that they have a clue about how angry people in America are. We see all these people on the TV, and we see all these women, of which, honestly, I'm embarrassed of, that are out there saying, you know, that Brett Kavanaugh did this and that just based on an accusation. Even some of our senators are saying that as well. And the ACLU is saying that as well. But this is not all of America. I mean, I'm a woman. I know lots of women. I don't know any woman who feels this way, that somebody should be judged on an accusation. And these people that are protesting, they are not the heart of America. They are not the majority of American women. Hopefully, the majority of American women have much more common sense than this. And they see what was being done here was just a ploy, a trap, a coup, whatever you want to call it, to not have Brett Kavanaugh be on the Supreme Court. And they have failed, and I hope that they fail at the polls because of this, because this is no way to run a country.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think that they're showing that actually the Republicans have been circling the wagons with respect to voters, and I think the Republican base is waking up and seeing the destruction of our civil rights happen right before us, with the primary victim being, you know, Judge Kavanaugh. And I'll tell you what, Lynn, I've never seen anything like this. And I don't think anybody has ever seen anything like this, where there has been a complete denial of civil rights to an individual, especially one that is, you know, spent 40 years in government service like Brett Kavanaugh. And the service has been absolutely stellar.
Yeah, well, this is, I was thinking today, as I was listening to one of the lawyers from the ACLU, who was saying that, you know, Brett Kavanaugh should not be put on the Supreme Court, that just because of this accusation, that, and he was on Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson was saying that you can't, that's not the way our government works. That's not the way this works. And I was thinking to myself, and I'm sure a lot of other women were as well, what if somebody accused you unfairly, falsely, for whatever reason, and you lose your job and you lose your career and you can no longer be a lawyer? And what if that happened to you? Would that be okay with you?
Right. No, exactly right. And, you know, of course, Brett Kavanaugh is a governmental employee. And, you know, I don't know, because I'm not an attorney, I don't know who would pay his legal fees. Right now, the United States government is in the Trump administration are paying, you know, for the legal fees and the attorneys and everything to defend the nominee. But just think about it, Lynn. Think if it was somebody like me who doesn't have all the means. I don't have the GoFundMe page. I don't have the economic needs or means to be able to defend myself and my reputation. And somebody comes in and makes a specious claim like, this Dr. Ford. How the heck is someone like me going to go back and defend themselves? Especially if they went back and they said, well, this guy did this or that in college, you know, over 40 years ago. How the heck is the average American, which is my point, going to defend themselves? It would break them. They would go bankrupt.
Well, they would. And the other thing, Ron, I just wrote an article about it on America Out Loud. It's called A Teachable Moment. This is a teachable moment. And this is a time that parents should take their kids and sit them down and tell them what's going on here. So if our kids were younger than they are now, I would say, look at this situation. And if you are my daughter, I'm going to say, here's how you stay out of situations which could be dangerous to you. Don't put yourself in these situations to start with. A la the girl who said that she went to 10 parties where there was, mass rapes and so forth. I mean, seriously. So I would be talking to my daughter about these things. Here's how to stay out of situations. If you get in a situation, here is what you do. And most of all, you tell right then, right there, you tell somebody. And I, as your parent, will always be standing by you, and you can tell me anything, and I will always have your back. And I would also tell my daughters to always be truthful. And I would also tell my daughters that men are not their enemies. I would tell my sons to beware of women. I honestly would. I would tell my sons to beware and be cautious, because women, this is not the first time a woman has made a false accusation. They've done it since the beginning of time, and they will continue to do it. So to my boys, I would say, beware, watch your behavior. Do not do anything that could be misconstrued as a sexual assault. And if you are accused in some way, handle it immediately and always be truthful.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutLoud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
Tired of watching the same old sporting events?
Well, kick it up a notch and get ready, America, for something you've never seen before. It's the new generation of Western superstars. Shorty Gorham's American freestyle bullfighting. Who will win? The acrobatic, tough-as-nails Western superstar or the meanest half-ton fighting bulls on Earth? This is one of the most extreme sports you'll ever see in an arena. This is hand-to-horn combat on a level playing field. Go to ShortyGorhamAFB.com or find them on Facebook. It's bullfighting time.
Well, Linda, I don't know if you have read out in California about the big shootout that we had with the 7 officers being shot and one police officer being killed in Florence, South Carolina. So, man, my heart just goes out to these poor officers. We had 4 deputies and 3 police officers, all from Florence County, but the police officer that was killed, a 30-year veteran of the department. So here's a guy that could have retired a few years ago. He's just staying on to do give back to the community. And it's just horrific. Terrence Caraway is the officer's name. He's an African-American officer and never had a chance. The suspect is taken into custody, and I believe he's a 74-year-old disbarred attorney with just a bunch of baggage and, you know, prior arrests and everything. Apparently, this thing started out with an active shooter in the house, shot one individual who's still alive. Police were called out there, and they were going out there to do a search warrant anyway. And he took them on from an elevated platform and shot several of them from long distances away. So he definitely had the advantage on these guys. But, you know, the one thing I just want to remind you of, and that is, you know, these officers place their lives on the line, men and women, every single day, so that you and I get to do the cool things that you and I get to do. And I'm so glad I'm not on the job anymore, where I, you know, don't have to put up with this. This is going to go down as another one of our most violent years ever in law enforcement, with officers being murdered by firearms.
Well, and we just have to find a solution to it. I don't know what the solution is, but one solution has to be that there has to be huge consequences for killing a police officer or shooting at a police officer. There just has to be huge consequences.
But there's not huge consequences.
No, there's not. That's the issue.
And you know what? We just had a discussion about California and Jerry Brown, the governor over there, and commuting the sentences of over, you know, almost 1,000 death row inmates, and now getting rid of the felony murder rule, which is going to cause, you know, thousands of other people who are currently in custody to appeal their sentences and get out early. Okay, and so there is no penalty in some areas for the crime of murder.
Well, and there's not. And this is just something that I am hoping in the time that President Trump is president, as he puts more judges on the courts. There was a number of them being sent through last week. And I'm just hoping that we can get this to turn around a bit, because we're giving the criminals more rights than the people that are not criminals, and that's just absolutely wrong. And I say it all the time, Ron, that we are just victimizing. Our politicians are victimizing and re-victimizing the citizens of this country, even the non-citizens of this country, just the people of this country, the law-abiding people of the country, by not putting these people in jail where they belong, or in prison where they belong, we don't have to be re-victimized.
Well, you know, going back to California again, you remember when we lived in California, we actually had to vote about the death row, if you remember.
Yes.
And it was overwhelming. It was almost 70% of the public in California, the voting public, voted to maintain the death penalty. And here's one guy with a stroke of a pen that says, I'm smarter, I'm better, I know better than you guys, and he completely usurped the voters. So what's the purpose of voting in the state of California?
Well, when you vote for a Jerry Brown in the first place, you ought to know what you're getting. And the problem is that people in California only voted along party lines, and they didn't even know what they were getting. Those of us who were here during his first term knew exactly what they were getting and what a huge mistake this was. But you're right. Here's a politician who knows better than all the people in his state that voted for him, and he completely disregards the will of the people and does what he wants to do. And somehow that should never be allowed to happen.
Well, let's just say a prayer for the poor officer and the other officers that were shot in South Carolina. And, you know, every single day we worry about our own police officer boy who's still in California.
Well, I have something that I'm really annoyed about, Ron. And that is that Christine Blasey Ford is on the cover of Time magazine, looking very angelic with her right hand raised. And in her image is all of different words from her testimony So what one person said, I hope she'll make a lasting impact when they arrest her for perjury. Yeah. And another one said, shocking that they didn't choose Kavanaugh in his words. But no, this is where we're going in this country. So I just wanted to point it out because that is extremely annoying. But I want to, what you were just talking about the police officers, interesting story that 400 guns were stolen from a United Parcel Service facility in Tennessee. And they were recovered this week. Guess where? In Chicago.
Oh, boy.
So that's just what we need is 400 more firearms on the streets of Chicago in Midlothian, which is a Chicago suburb.
Well, you know, that just speaks of, to me, an inside job with gang activity. That's what that speaks like to me.
Well, it absolutely does. And the guns were taken on a Sunday and recovered on a Tuesday. They were in a U-Haul truck. And now they're trying to figure out how many made it to the streets, if any. But yeah, I mean, so that just might be a little sign about how these guys are getting so many guns there in Chicago to kill so many young people there. And by the way, the guy that was arrested in this was only 18 years old.
So the only guy that they arrested was 18 years old?
Well, they're looking for more, but the guy that they did arrest was 18 years old.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, also, you know, in Texas, we obviously have our election coming up, and we spend a lot of time talking about California, but I want to talk about Texas for a minute because Ted Cruz is in a fight for his Senate seat against Beto O'Rourke. And Beto is kind of a younger guy. I don't know exactly how old he is, but he's very liberal. And he's all for open borders, which I would think that Texans would hate. So I really don't understand why Ted Cruz would be even in any sort of a fight for his seat. And I'm not honestly sure if he is. But in the last few weeks, I think it's really interesting that some different things have come out about Beto O'Rourke that are not very flattering. And one being that, you know, we're talking about these things that happen in people's lives and that now we're digging into everybody's past and we're looking at them. So one thing that had come out about him is that he was in an accident and apparently drunk driving and left the scene of the accident.
You know, I saw the actual police report from that.
Did you?
I read it. Yeah, of course. Of
because
course
he denies it. So is it true or not true?
Yeah, it's true. I read the report. At least the officer said it was true that arrested him. Yeah. So, you know, this guy, he cracks me up, but he scares me at the same time. He's a total fraud. First of all, I call him the white male version of Pocahontas that President Ford refers to, because the guy's a white guy, but and Beto is not his real first name. Okay, he picked that name as a nickname because it sounds Hispanic. All right, so if you're a voter and you've never seen this guy on television, and you know you're a Hispanic voter, maybe you're going to vote for this guy. But the key name is his last name is Irish. Okay, so he's an Irish white guy, you know, perhaps posing as a Hispanic. But, you know, he's got an arrest history that goes beyond, you know, drunk driving. So he's been in trouble for a couple of serious issues in the past. But what is happening with him, Lynn, as you well know, and what's scary is the Democratic Party and then also George Soros has poured a lot of money into this guy's campaign. And I think he even has more money than Ted Cruz does. So I don't know.
Oh, he does definitely have more money.
I don't know if Senator Cruz saw this guy coming, but they dumped a truckload of money into his campaign coffers.
Well, and another article that just came out about him, and he admits these things. So I'm not telling you anything that is uncorroborated. He corroborates it himself that he's having to apologize for a play that he went to, and he wrote an article about this in 1991, that he had criticized this musical, The Will Rogers Follies, I guess, and he had criticized it saying something about the girls in the play with phenomenally large breasts and tight butts. So,
Linda, you know, Linda, listen yes. to me. This never ends, okay?
It never ends.
It never ends, okay? Because so that's what we're talking about now.
Yeah, you can pull things out of anybody's past, but it's hilarious when it happens to the other side.
Oh, no, and, I get it.
And they have nothing to say, you know?
I get it. You know what? Here's something that's interesting. I don't know if you know this, but President Obama endorsed him, and he turned around today and said he is not interested in an endorsement by President Obama.
Well, I'm going to beg to differ with you, because President Obama did not endorse him, which is why he's saying that he's not interested in an endorsement, because he didn't get it.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I can't believe that you're in California and you're getting more accurate information than I am, and I'm here in Texas.
I think I just sometimes read more accurately, Ron. I don't know.
I'm telling you what, you just upped the doctor, okay?
But anyway, I was actually going to bring that up, that he says that he doesn't need the endorsement. But Obama did endorse Ocasio-Cortez.
Who I'm sure took the endorsement, right? And ran with it, right?
Of course she did, but she actually, although she says that... Well, you know what? She was not a big fan of Obama's, so I'm surprised that he did endorse her, because she's much farther left than he is.
I was going to say she probably didn't want it because he's too conservative for her.
But who else would he endorse, right? Because, you know, I mean, he's not going to endorse the Republican, obviously. So another thing about politics, just while we're on the subject quickly, is this whole thing about, you know, our 2020 census is going to be coming up. And Trump's nominee to head this up is getting, of course, a whole lot of Democratic pushback. And what the issue is, and I didn't know this till I kind of read about it, is that the census, the Trump Census Bureau, they want to have something on the form that says if you're a citizen or not, and they have to fill that out. Not so we can throw people out of the country, but because the congressional districting is done off the census, and they don't want to do congressional districting based on illegal aliens. So there's a big brouhaha about this, and you know, you can kind of see where both sides are standing. So the Democrats want everybody included, because they say, oh no, that's the only fair thing to do, is to include everybody. But if representatives are determined by population totals, in my opinion, those population totals ought to be the citizens that are entitled to that representation that they and people that have the right to vote, and not in all these areas where you have huge pockets of illegals living. That wouldn't be fair to the rest of the citizens.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you said that, Linda, because I think you hit the nail right on the head. The political representatives in Congress and the Senate are supposed to represent American citizens, which is different than anybody, including illegals, being within the confines of the United States, all right, and being protected by our Bill of Rights. But as far as representation, I believe the jurisdiction of the Congress and the Senate, I could be wrong, is strictly towards, and their responsibilities are strictly towards American citizens.
So one last thing, Ron, on this Census Bureau is that several advocacy groups and a couple of states, and I bet you can't guess which ones they are, have filed a lawsuit seeking to have the citizenship question removed.
Well, of course, California is going to be one of them. Oregon is going to be one of them. Massachusetts will be one.
Well, no, wait. No, no, no. There was only two, California and New York.
Oh, in New York? Oh, I thought Oregon would be right up there the way Oregon.
Well, I mean that, you know, we have a long way to 2020, so we'll see. But that's what it is now. And I think personally that the question should be asked. I think that we should know who are citizens and who aren't citizens. And we should only district for citizens.
I'm with you.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our Response to Active Shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to ResponseToActiveShooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, ResponseToActiveShooter.com, and be safe out there.
I have a Linda quiz for you today.
I'm not doing so good tonight, so with information, but go ahead, give me a try.
Okay, well, I won't make it a quiz then. We'll just talk about this because I think that this is interesting. There are some inventors who have invented wonderful things that have lived to regret it. So the first one is Victor. Go ahead.
Let me do one, okay? Just let me participate and do one.
Okay.
Alfred Nobel.
Yes, and he invented?
TNT.
Yes, so dynamite, and he absolutely regrets that he invented that. But I haven't gotten to him yet, so I will.
Okay, I'll leave you alone. Go ahead, because I'm interested. Go ahead.
Well, I want to hear your opinions on these guys. So the guy who invented the shopping mall, Victor Gruen, he regrets that he ever invented it.
Why?
He said that it was designed to mimic town squares with shops and schools, and he despised what shopping malls have become.
Oh, but that had nothing to do with him. I mean, his idea was very good, and we have seen, matter of fact, even in Texas, we've seen some really good shopping areas that resemble that. In Temecula, we had a wonderful one that resembled that.
Well, you know, and you know where else? There's a few that I can think of. But I have to tell you, when you and I were just in Italy, Ron, I commented to you that why can't we do this? Because, right, you know, every few blocks they have a square.
Right.
And the square has a name, usually something historic or something religious. And in the square, it's such a great meeting place. So you have this, all these buildings around the square, and the square is the square, right? And there's streets that go through, and there's different things. But all around on the inside of that square, there are restaurants and shops. And it's just great meeting places, great food places, great places to congregate as people. And I would love to see us do that type of thing.
Okay, but I think I know the answer as to why we don't have that model. And I was right there with you. I absolutely agree with it. It's expense. Because in the United States, land is extremely expensive. And when we were in Europe, every single one of those squares was over 1,000 years old. All right, so those squares had been there with those giant churches, the cathedrals, the baptiseries, all of the architecture around it was over 1,000 years old. Some of them were several hundred years old, but some were much older than that, when they didn't have cars and they had very few horses and everybody was a pedestrian, and that was a normal place to meet. So that's why I think we don't have that model here in the United States.
Yeah, I just really enjoy it, though. It's just so much more personal. Well, the second inventor who lived to regret his invention was something you and I use every day, John Sylvan, who invented the Keurig K-Cup.
Oh, and now he regrets it?
He says that the 10 billion non-biodegradable K-Cups clutter landfills, and he's ashamed of that.
Oh, well, okay. Now, I wonder if they could make them out of something else that would just survive one cup of coffee before it fell apart, right?
Well, I am sure that they can do that. They seem to be able to do most anything, so probably somebody is working on that. But I sure like my little K-Cups at work. They're really convenient.
Well, can't you take those? They're made out of plastic, right, Lynn?
Right.
Can't you take those? Like, they collect plastic and then they melt it all down and make new plastic out of it?
Well, they certainly could if people threw them away in some sort of recycle thing. I don't know. I guess that there's just so many used now.
Okay.
But it's a very convenient invention for sure. And then Orville Wright, Orville Wright, the co-inventor of the airplane.
Right.
He regrets his invention. And the reason is he didn't envision the airplane as a weapon. The role it played in the world wars horrified him.
Okay.
So, but, were he alive today, I think he might have a different perspective because, just the airplane does so many wonderful things, too. So, who knows?
Linda, I think, of course, you and I fly so much. My God, we fly thousands of miles a month. Just look at what we just did, okay? We went from Florence, Italy, back to San Antonio, Texas, in like 12 hours.
No, Ron, like 7 or 8 hours. It was pretty good.
No, Dr. Ron, you're wrong again. Anyway, you know my point.
Where have I heard that before?
For several hours. It took us just several hours on something that would have taken probably half a year,
Well, but you know what? I will give you that one because we took two flights, and that second flight, even though it was short, it took forever to wait at the airport for it. So that was an issue. Anyway, Philo Farnsworth. Does that ring a bell?
Not at all.
He invented something else we use every day, the television. And his feeling is that the television was meant to be an educational tool, but he ended up seeing it, as we often do, a time-wasting monster.
And, and that's why you and I have really changed our viewing habits in the last few years. And we, other than some news or maybe a documentary or something neat, we don't even watch that thing anymore.
We actually almost never turn it on. In fact, while I'm here in California, I'm staying with our son Danny, and which is interesting. And he turned on the TV for me, and he turned it right to Fox News, and he said, "Here you go. You can watch TV." I said, "No, I'm going to read my book. I'm not interested in watching TV." He was appalled.
Well, that's because they're so. There's so much crap on TV, and I think everybody agrees with us. There's not too much that's worthwhile watching, except, maybe an occasional variety show like some of the things that we like,
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. All right, keep going.
Well, so many people say to me that they don't even watch the news anymore because it's just so depressing, and I agree. This, especially with this whole Kavanaugh thing, has been really upsetting to a lot of people, me included. So something that I'm doing right now, Robert Probst, he invented the office cubicle, and he regrets inventing that because his feeling was that companies bastardized the original cubicle idea, and he called them a monolithic insanity. I think that he had a much smaller vision of it, and they became just, like he said, monolithic and huge. So he didn't like that. Anna Jarvis, the woman who invented Mother's Day, regretted that because she regretted the over-commercialization of a well-intended gesture meant to honor all mothers.
And yeah, I totally agree with that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do too. With all the gifts and the cards and the, you know, the expectations, I don't think that that was something that she had in mind. Here's one that you can appreciate, I think, is does Mikhail Kalashnikov,
it's Mikhail Kalashnikov.
Okay,
he invented
very good.
The AK-47.
You're right. And he regretted that move because he said 250,000 people would die yearly from AK-47 wounds, and he wrote that he felt responsible for those deaths.
Wow. You know, he passed away a few years ago. He received the greatest honor in the Soviet Union, which is referred to as the Hero of the Soviet Union. And the AK-47 and its variants is actually what saved Russia, one of the primary weapons that saved Russia against the German, because of the firepower that that weapon could come out with and how easily it was what we call a metal stamped weapon. So it was just, you know, sheets of metal that could quickly be put together by a machine and turned into a machine gun very, very cheaply.
Well, and I think that, you know, that really kind of brings home for me that almost any invention can be a double-edged sword. There's a good and a bad side to everything. It's
correct.
Just how we as people use our behavior to use those inventions. Another one that really regrets, and you could understand this one, is J. Robert Oppenheimer.
Oh, and the inventor of the atomic bomb, right?
Exactly. Yes. He, when he spoke to Harry Truman in 1945, he said, "Mr. President, I feel I have blood on my hands." And, you know, again, how many lives did he take by creating that? But how many lives did he ultimately save as well?
So it's a paradox. Sure.
Yeah, it is. And again, your Alfred Nobel, dynamite.
Trinitrotoluene, TNT.
Yep, and he created, Nobel created the Peace Prize as well. And he created that Peace Prize out of guilt for his deadliest invention of dynamite.
That's correct.
So, of course it is. And last but not least,
you're playing with me here, aren't you? You're just playing with me. You're in California. I'm stuck with three dogs, and the kids are all gone, and you're playing with me.
And I'm footloose and fancy free over here. Hey, I'm stuck with our son. What can I say?
One of them. Go ahead.
So the last one is really interesting to me. Sir Tim Berners-Lee, he invented the HTTP forward slashes. So you know how you go HTTP whatever in the web domains.
Computer genius that you are. Go ahead.
Yeah. He thinks that his invention is unnecessary and a useless time waster. And I absolutely agree with him. You don't need to type all that junk. So that's it. That's my little 10 inventors who live to regret their inventions for the day.
Great.
Okay, so I want to tell you a few good news things because I haven't had good news for a little while and I like it. First good news thing is just that North and South Korea have actually begun clearing the mines in the DMZ. So, you know, they have all these buried mines there, which are just tragic for people who step on them or roll over them in their vehicle. Right. And they have begun the process of removing those. And you can directly thank President Trump for this effort.
Oh, that's fantastic. Go ahead.
Well, it is fantastic. And, you know, we talk about police officers all the time. And police officers are always doing something good that we don't hear about. Well, there's a little boy, 6 years old, and he has a genetic disorder, and he suffers from a condition where he was born without sweat glands, so he cannot go outside at all if the temperature is above 74 degrees because he can overheat. So while all of his classmates are outside, the school resource officer comes in and hangs with him. They read books, they talk, they, you know, just have a good little relationship going so that he's not in there all by himself when he can't be outside.
Oh, that's really nice.
I think that that's really nice. His name is Ronald Saladin, Officer Ronald Saladin. And that's just a really thoughtful thing to do. But then again, that's what police officers do. They do thoughtful things all the time.
Hey, I've got a police officer good news story. Can I sneak it in
really
quick?
Absolutely.
Okay, so in Southern California, and I think it's the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, a couple of the deputies are on patrol, and they see this woman in a motorized wheelchair, and she's stuck in the middle of the roadway. And it ended up being a battery-powered wheelchair, and she had just run plumb out of power. So one of the deputies came out and grabbed her and put her in the patrol car, and his partner drove her home while the deputy pushed her wheelchair a mile back to her house.
Oh, that's so awesome. See, that they just awesome. Do such nice things, and these people that are out there targeting them, just tragic. So here's another good news. I love this. There's a girl who has, she has a chromosomal mutation, and she is required to use a wheelchair, but she wanted to be in on the fun for Halloween this year, right? So she can't really get up and walk around to the houses and use a costume. So this group of students got together, and they built her. They said, well, what do you like to do and what do you enjoy? Well, what she enjoys is she enjoys farm life and farm animals and, you know, animals and things like that. So if you can picture this, Ron, she's in a wheelchair. They built a costume that is like 7 feet tall, and it's actually a little barn, and it goes right over the wheelchair. It's got a chicken hanging out the top. It's got bales of hay. It's as cute as could be. And she can roll around in this, and it's lightweight. It's not made out of wood or anything. And it's just as cute as can be. So now she is she's the barn. It says Alex's barn on it. And all of her friends and family are going to be dressed as farm animals to go with her.
I love it. That's a great story.
I thought that was just so creative, and it's just so cute. So that's one more good news story. And then, I just have to do this to you. I was not going to do it to you, but you know how we have the bucking bulls and how we did a whole conversation on cows, right?
No, you're not following up with another another cow thing.
Well, just one cow thing.
Okay, go ahead.
So you know how they blame poor cows for global warming all the time because...
Yes, they do, because they poop.
They fart. That's why.
That too.
And so there's a new cow feed that makes them fart less.
Don't.
I'm just telling you, it's a good news story. So it will help the global warming. If you believe that cows are causing it, now you have no excuse to blame the poor cow.
We're going to lose sponsors.
All right. So I think that's about all of my my good news stories for the day. And I would just like to kind of wish you the best with the three dogs. I feel for you. Hey, well, I have a really good news story to end our conversation with.
All right. You got a few seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. 1 week, just 1 week. And we get our home back, and no three dogs anymore. And
the kids'
house is done. Escrow's closing. They're moving out, and we get our house back.
Yeah, after we probably pay a few thousand dollars to fix up what's been broken, and those dogs will never come back here in this house again, except for our dog. I'm looking at them right now. They're all on the couch. They're all cuddled up together. It's cute, but they're all a bunch of troublemakers. It's like me living with a bunch of toddlers. So, okay, I'm going to take all the toddlers to bed, and I'm going to tell you I love you, and I'll see you soon.
All right, I'll love you right back.